Folks, you might be wondering why I've gathered you here today. Well, I have a very important announcement to make.
That's kind of crazy because I actually have a really important announcement for today.
This is really weird because I also have a very important announcement today.
Weird. Well, do you guys just want to say our announcements on three?
Yeah, sure. That works.
Okay.
All right, here goes. 1, 2, 3.
I'm here to announce my pick for vice president of the podcast.
Oh my gosh,
what?
That is so crazy.
That is so crazy.
You had the same announcement really that I did, and at the same time, weird.
Wait a minute though, guys. You can't announce your picks for VP. Clearly, I'm president of the podcast. I host the dang thing.
Hold on a second. You're president? Excuse me, I have seniority here. If anyone's president of the podcast, it's clearly me.
I'm pretty sure you guys are confused because I'm the funny one. So clearly I am president of the podcast.
No way. I'm not even sure you're the funniest one.
Oh, come on. What does host mean anyway?
Guys, I hate it when we fight like this, and I feel like we're losing sight of the spirit of the podcast, you know? We're all in this together. There's no president and vice president of the podcast. We are co-presidents. And in that spirit, I think we all just need to agree on what to talk about this week. You know, we all need to be on the same page. So, look, let me get that started. I nominate that we talk about this week's election results. What do you think?
I think that sounds great.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And so I nominate we talk about the statewide mask order and kind of an update on where that stands.
That's a great idea, Co-President Laurel. Co-President John, what do you think?
How about an update on Kanye West's efforts to get on the ballot in Wisconsin for the presidency?
That's an excellent idea, and I'd like to throw in just one more. Let's talk about all these Republicans descending on Wisconsin during the week of the Democratic National Convention. What do you think?
A perfect addition. Sure. I love it. All in favor of all of the above, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm President John K. Wilson.
I'm President Sean Johnson.
And I'm President Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, our short list of the news. So for those of you who didn't catch our really clever on-the-nose joke there, there was some big news in presidential politics with Joe Biden picking his choice for vice president, but there's no real Wisconsin connection to that story at this point. So let's talk about some other politics stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to spend much time on it. It is kind of weird that the American system of democracy is less advanced than our podcast system, where we have co-presidents. Obviously, it's the way you run everything.
Aren't co-presidents just an oligarchy? I think feel like that's a pretty old system of government.
Hey, you know, if it works, it works.
Apparently works great for the podcast system of government. So that's what we've done. It's what we've chosen to adopt.
So anyway, where do we want to start? I guess speaking of electoral forms of government, there was an election this week in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there was. And it was a primary, but it decided a lot of races because, you know, you had a lot of primaries for seats that are, well, where either they won't have a challenger in November or else they're just really Democratic or really Republican seats. So in practice, they kind of elected new senators and representatives this week in some parts of the state, including where we're speaking in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was sort of like a primary in name only for some of these seats, right? It's like pretty much the general election. So we have a good idea about who some of these people are going to be in the state legislature come next January when the new session begins, which seems like roughly 7 eons from now.
It is in COVID time. That's probably years in actual time.
Yeah. Should we just kind of run through some of these elections?
Yeah. Races? Run on through.
So I think one that we were pretty interested in was Senator Fred Risser's seat. I feel like normally we don't say things like so-and-so's seat. We say like, you know, the district where so-and-so is currently the representative. But if anybody can claim a seat, I think it might be Fred Risser. He's been in the Senate for 58 years, I think. Him choosing not to seek re-election and the primary to fill that district seat was a pretty hotly contested one. There were 7 people running, and the winner was somebody that we're pretty familiar with, Kelda Royes, who ran for governor in 2018 in the Democratic primary. So she is very likely, barring some sort of crazy happening, is going to be sworn in to be the senator from the 26th that Fred Risser has held for quite a while now.
Yeah, and we also had a couple other seats where it's not quite as clear cut that the winner will be the winner in November, because in theory they have general election opponents. But in the seat that's currently held by Senator Mark Miller of Monona, who's retiring, Representative Melissa Sargent of Madison won that primary. It's a heavily Democratic seat, so she's the heavy favorite to become the next senator from that district. And in the 28th district, which is in southeast Wisconsin, currently held by a Big Bend Republican, Dave Craig, one of the most conservative members of the legislature, who is stepping down, Julian Bradley will be the state senator in that district, more than likely. He also has a Democratic opponent in November, but again, a very conservative district in southeast Wisconsin, so he's going to be the heavy favorite.
I think an interesting thing to note about Julian Bradley is that he is Black, so he would be the first Black conservative in the state Senate and the first Black conservative in quite a long time in the state legislature as a whole. So it's a notable thing in terms of kind of representation in the legislature. Kind of in a similar vein, the state assembly seat being vacated by Chris Taylor, a Madison representative who said she wasn't going to seek re-election. The winner in the Democratic primary for that seat is Francesca Hong, who is Asian American, Korean American, and as far as we can tell, she would be the first Asian American state lawmaker in Wisconsin.
And Laurel, they weren't the only candidates who kind of broke new ground in this election, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Samba Balde won another Madison area primary race. He is a Gambian American immigrant. He came to the U.S. about 20 years ago from the African country of Gambia. And he would be the first Muslim American in the state legislature. So kind of some interesting developments from the primary in terms of, like I said earlier, representation and getting a little bit more diversity in the legislature.
And talking about state legislative races, there's also some interesting results that could sort of have an impact in November when it comes to Republicans looking for a veto-proof majority in the state legislature.
Yeah, we know there's a handful of districts that are likely to decide that, where Republicans, if they want to get a veto-proof majority, they have to win 3 seats in the Assembly and, you know, effectively 3 seats in the Senate, too. And so there were primaries in some of those Senate seats last night that we're watching. And I think you could say that the kind of the expected challengers prevailed in those districts. So one of the districts we'll be watching in November is the 10th State Senate District. That's where Patty Schachner, the Democrat, is currently state senator. She won that big special election in early 2018, kind of an upset for Democrats in what is normally a conservative district. And in that race, Representative Rob Stafshel of New Richmond won the primary. So he's going to be on the ballot against Patty Schachner in November. There was also a Democratic primary in the 30th Senate District, where Dave Hansen is retiring and his nephew, Jonathan Hansen, won. So there will be a Hansen on the ballot in November to face Eric Wimberger in that swing district, in that swingy region in swing state Wisconsin. And then there's the there was a race in the 32nd Senate district where former Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling retired, and Brad Paff, the former Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, won his Democratic primary. So he will be on the ballot against Dan Kopanky, a former state senator who lost twice to Schilling. So that will be a very competitive race, I think, by all expectations.
Fun piece of trivia about that race for some folks who might not have been tuned into Wisconsin politics for a long time. Isn't the Kopanky-Paff race a rematch of 2004?
I did not know that. I did not know that.
I knew I think it is.
Okay, I did. I should have known that.
It's a fun piece in the same district?
I think well, so.
Well, so Kopanky has been senator before. You know, he is a former state senator. And I did not realize that he beat Paff back in 2004. Boy, that district just has nothing but rematches, basically. Kopanky wins. Schilling beats him. He runs again. She beats him again. Then she leaves. He runs again. Faces the guy that he beat before. It's like the district of sequels, the 32nd. It's what
when you, it's the, when, the district when you, of deja vu.
when you drive into that district, it's like welcome to the sequel Senate district.
The 32nding. I don't know. Anyway, aside from state legislative races, there were also some congressional primary races that probably worth touching on briefly.
Yeah, and I don't know that you would say that any of these primaries are setting up what are expected to be extremely competitive races in November because, you know, we kind of know the party makeup of these districts and where they stand. But we did have in the first congressional district, Roger Pollack of Racine won his primary, his Democratic primary. He'll face Representative Brian Stile in November. Stile won that district with 55% of the vote in 2018, which was a fairly Democratic year. In the third congressional district, Derek Van Orden won his Republican primary. He'll face Ron Kind of La Crosse, the longtime incumbent from Western Wisconsin. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald won his Republican primary in the race to replace retiring U.S. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner. So that was not a surprise, but kind of worth mentioning here. And I have a feeling we'll be doing a podcast in the near future about who will replace Senator Fitzgerald as majority leader in the legislature. Former State Senator Jessica King won her primary in the 6th congressional district. She'll face Glenn Grothman in November. Again, Grothman got 55% of the vote in 2018. So just a little sampling there of some of the primary election results. Again, we don't necessarily have a bunch of competitive congressional races expected in Wisconsin. It may depend on what kind of a year we're having and what we're talking about in November and, you know, the popularity of the president, stuff like that.
And just real quick before we move on from elections, how did things sort of go off? I mean, there were a lot of issues in our April election regarding the coronavirus and long lines at polling places and issues with mail-in ballots and such. And so this was election number two during the pandemic. What was that like?
Well, it was a little bit different than April. There were more, I think, kind of places we were closely watching were Milwaukee and Green Bay because they had those long lines in April and kind of challenges there. They definitely had more polling places open this go round, didn't have the long lines that we saw last time. There were some technical issues with some ballot counting machines in Milwaukee that led to a little bit of a later set of results than people were expecting. But for the most part, it was much smoother sailing than we saw in April.
I think the Milwaukee thing, you know, it's not like anything bad happened there in a way. I mean, they were slow counting the ballots, but nobody freaked out about it because there's no Republican Democrat race over there of note that hangs in the balance. But you could imagine if it were November and the eyes of the nation were upon Wisconsin and we're all waiting for Milwaukee to get its vote count out there, the tension would be turned up a bit. So I know that's something that they're looking to kind of speed up as they prepare for a much larger number of ballots to be coming in, absentee ballots, especially in November.
Well, moving on, what's next on our short list of news here?
Let's talk about that mask mandate that was declared a couple weeks ago. And I feel like it's just worth an update since we talked about what might happen if the governor might issue a mask mandate, what people said about his mask mandate after it happened. Here we are 2 weeks later. And as of right now, there has been no lawsuit challenging the mask mandate.
Yeah, I guess I feel like the news is that, like, there is no news it is, on that, right?
Yeah, that is. And there's been no lawsuit in the legislature, which has the power to overturn the governor's emergency order by a simple majority vote, has not met. You know, a couple weeks ago, the state Senate, Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said he was prepared to convene the Senate to overturn the governor's emergency order. Speaker Voss said that the assembly was looking into it, but that he expected there would be citizen groups that challenged the order. That hasn't happened. You know, when I contacted both leaders this week, they just didn't respond to questions about what they're planning to do. I did hear back from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, asking them if they plan a lawsuit, and essentially they said no update at this time. So that kind of covers the bases. You know, the mask mandate remains in effect and the governor's emergency powers remain in effect, unchallenged by the legislature at this point.
I think it's important to mention that, you know, we know that enforcement of the mask mandate really varies widely across the state. We had reporting pretty quickly after it went into effect that sheriff's offices in a number of counties weren't going to enforce it. There's been kind of some additional comments from the Evers administration about, you know, enforcement being more up to local health departments anyway. But I think it's interesting to note that, like, the mask mandate certainly is in effect, but it's a little bit kind of down to the honor system, depending on where you live in Wisconsin, in terms of whether you're complying with it or not.
I think one facet that's also worth mentioning here is, it's not on our short list of news, but we did get a Marquette poll, a new Marquette poll this week, and there was a question on there about people's support of the mask mandate, and broadly, people in Wisconsin seem to support, you know, the requirement for masks.
Yeah, that was interesting. You had 69% of Wisconsin voters favored a mask mandate. 71% of independent voters favored it. So as you know, both parties watch these mythical creatures, the independent voters in Wisconsin, independent voters like the mask mandate. Very popular among Democratic voters. It was like 95% of Democrats support the mask mandate. Not as popular among Republicans, where 54% of Republicans do oppose the mask mandate. So, you know, that's closer. It's not like an overwhelming lopsided Republicans are against it, but they are against it, a majority of them. And, you know, the idea that of masks being political, I'm sure, is going to come up next week. You know, I'll save that for our next segment, though, our future segment, since we're going to allude to people coming to Wisconsin and what they might or might not say about masks.
All right, time for another agenda item.
Yeah, let's do it. Laurel, are you still here?
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
We're doing our remote recording here, and Laurel's video is currently off because, you know, you got to share the video bandwidth in your household sometimes, right? And so I look at Laurel, and it's always just this picture she has. She's smiling.
Just serenely smiling. That's what I look like in person, too, right now.
When I go on too long, I don't know if you're there, but you're smiling.
just listening to the hot, sizzling hot takes.
That was sizzling hot too. I mean, it's about that's about as sizzling hot as I get. You know,
I'm like not sure. You went to Chili's if it was still open, and you know, got a nice fajita skillet.
Yeah. Yep. Careful with that plate.
It's hot.
Yep. So Kanye West. So last week we talked about Kanye West's petitions being potentially filed too late. Like they might have been just a late registration of presidential ballots, and
just beating the references to the album and the song, just in case people don't get that.
Yeah, listen to last week's podcast. It was just super good.
It was a good one.
Yeah. So, what we have to update you with this week is that the Kanye West campaign filed a response to that complaint. And it was pretty interesting because there's all this video out there from WISN is where I had seen it previously, a video of Lane Ruland, the Republican attorney who turned in Kanye West's signatures at the Wisconsin Election Commission. And we should say again, you know, West is in Wisconsin, as he is in other states. He's getting help from Republican operatives in order to get on the ballot. The thinking being, which West has expressed in interviews with Forbes, that he will pull votes from Joe Biden, that it will be beneficial to Donald Trump, who West has supported. So we also saw this video of Lane Ruland filing these signatures, and the WISN reporter said it was after 5 o'clock. The state Democratic Party actually had somebody there at the Elections Commission that day too, took their own video. And in the video, you see them watching their watch, and you see it turns 5 o'clock and the signatures are not yet turned in. So it kind of comes down to a question of, did the Elections Commission have the same clock, right? Did they also agree that it was after 5 o'clock? Because guys, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at my clocks. Oh, they're all the same. Never mind. But sometimes clocks can be different. And what the West campaign argued was that these signatures were turned in 14 seconds after 5 o'clock, and that
because that's what the Elections Commission said, right? The Election Commission's official count was 14 seconds after five.
I would say that is the Elections Commission's official count according to the West campaign. I still haven't seen the Elections Commission's official staff memo on what they said, and I cannot wait to read it because I'm way into the story now. You know, what time was it when the door swung open and the signatures were turned in? But they're saying that 5 o'clock and 14 seconds should count. That is 5 o'clock. That it matches the statutory definition of, you know, 5 o'clock basically.
Because what the statute says is that petitions should be turned in not later than 5 p.m., right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the phrase that their response really hinges on here. It is, and they're saying that 5 o'clock and 14 seconds is not later than 5 o'clock. It's not 5:01. Therefore,
right?
Therefore, it's got to count.
Because statute doesn't specify minutes and seconds.
Right.
So they're arguing that 14 seconds is inclusive of 5 o'clock, whereas if it had been 5:01, then that would be later than 5 o'clock.
Yeah. I feel like they should have like a homeroom bell at the Wisconsin Elections Commission, you know,
right?
It goes off. If you're not in your seat, you know, you got to go to the principal's office basically. But the other thing that the West campaign says, it's vital to be able to know and evaluate the precise timepiece used by commission staff in accepting the filing. So I love when stuff gets into the nitty gritty of a timepiece.
And I think there's something about like whether the timepiece was properly calibrated and,
They included a link in their filing in a footnote to like an article about how iPhones aren't necessarily correct. The clocks aren't necessarily correct. So that's what they're saying as far as the timing goes.
So there's obviously the super intriguing timing element of it, which is definitely intriguing. But there are also kind of other elements to challenges, right? Like how many signatures are on the petition, if they're valid signatures, and some drama about addresses or Kanye's address, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm just hung up on the time stuff because, you know, I love when we do our time travel stuff on the podcast.
Sean Johnson, a fan of time.
This stuff's just like catnip for me, you know? What is time? Anyway. Yes, the complaint that was filed by Democratic attorneys was also about how, with the help of a somebody who works for the Democratic Party, providing research, you know, gathering affidavits from people who signed these petitions, they found a lot of people who said, look, I wouldn't have signed the petition if I had known it was a Kanye West for president petition. They said that people circulating petitions were misleading them. They talked about people circulating the petitions listing the wrong address of the circulators. The West campaign essentially says you're wrong in that situation. And they also talked about Kanye West listing his wrong address in Wyoming. And the West campaign says, look, he has mail sent there. That's his address. If you go to the Street View address of the Google Street View of that address, it is not an address befitting of a rap mogul international superstar. But it is, you know, it is the address.
I mean, it's some sort of commercial property, right?
It is, yeah. And so that will also be fun to listen to the commission kind of hear arguments on, I think, as to whether that's Kanye's address.
And this meeting is scheduled to take place next week, right?
I believe you're
the
right.
Commission, yeah.
I believe you're right. They just scheduled it. It's for the 20th, August 20th. So, gosh. Imagine the podcast we'll have to talk about next Friday. Amazing.
We're just going to ignore the entire Milwaukee DNC thing and just talk about the Elections Commission staff memo regarding Kanye's ballot eligibility.
What is time this week on the podcast?
All right. Well, speaking of the DNC, do we want to get into that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Co-President John and Co-President Laurel, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think kind of the interesting thing about the DNC at this point is that it's definitely not happening in the way that we thought it was going to. Pretty much everything is going to be virtual. Speeches are going to be happening from other states and just sort of live streamed. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not going to be in Wisconsin. But that's not really new news. I think kind of a newer angle on this is that President Trump is actually going to be in Wisconsin in person on the first day of the DNC for a campaign event. So we're kind of getting this kind of opposite world where we thought we were going to have the Democratic presidential nominee in the state next week. And instead, we are going to have the president here in person. So, you know, 2020 just keeps dealing us unexpected twists.
Yeah, I guess. And one could imagine that point will be made by Republicans when they're here about how the Democratic nominee didn't visit Wisconsin again, but here's Trump and Trump's campaign. I mean, Mike Pence basically should just get an apartment here, I think, because he's he's been here a lot, you know. It will be also interesting to see the contrast between how, you know, one side, one campaign, the Democratic Party, is handling politics on a grand scale in the age of the coronavirus and how Republicans are handling it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we heard this week from Governor Evers saying that he expects the president and people who attend his event this week to wear masks. He quoted federal health experts loosely by saying, quote, wear a freaking mask.
Freaking. I believe freaking, he dropped the G on that for sure.
Right. Apostrophe. Yeah. So there's going to be kind of that, I think, like you said, just conversation about Republicans being here in person, how they conduct themselves at the events, and Democrats pushing back and saying, you know, we are setting the example, we're following guidance, we're doing this the right way, and they're doing it the wrong way. Yeah, just a more protracted political conversation about masks, something that we weren't necessarily expecting for 2020 in Wisconsin, but here we are.
I'm also sort of curious about what it's going to look like when these Wisconsin Democrats gather in the Wisconsin Center, you know, in kind of an empty arena to give these speeches without a crowd there.
Yeah.
Feels like, because we heard this week who we're hearing from in Wisconsin, right? And it's, you know, a regular old list of Wisconsin Democrats. You know, you have Governor Evers, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Representative Gwen Moore, Senator Tammy Baldwin, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no offense. No offense to those Wisconsin Democrats. That's just not what we were expecting. You know,
we hear from them pretty frequently.
I'm sure that's not what they were expecting either, you know, to give these speeches to an empty hall, basically, during the national convention. I think it's a little bit of a different experience than they were expecting. So we're not the only ones.
Just to real quickly shoe in the Marquette poll again here, because Wisconsin is a, you know, important state that both parties want to win. And Democrats, you know, initially decided to host their convention here to give us attention and hope to win it. And Republicans now are, you know, trying to press their advantage by coming to Wisconsin. What does the latest polling show about who's ahead?
The latest polling shows that Joe Biden is still ahead statewide among both registered voters and among likely voters. The lead among likely voters is 5 percentage points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Slightly narrowed from the last poll, but when you're talking a percentage point, you know, careful not to put too much weight into that. It is also Biden's lead is within the poll's margin of error. The thing that kind of stuck out in that poll, aside from the mask numbers, which we haven't seen before, but was where voters are kind of the most in play. You know, which part of the state is the most divided? Where has Trump seen some positive movement? And it's up, you know, in the Green Bay media market. And so where are Republicans going next week? Well, we know at least President Trump going to Oshkosh. There's also a CPAC event that's happening today that is up in that part of the state as well. So they are actually in, I'll just check real quick. They're in Green Bay, and you've got Mike Gallagher, Rebecca Clayfish, Scott Walker, Corey Lewandowski, a bunch of Republicans already here in Wisconsin, up in the swingiest part of the swing state, making a push for voters there.
Well, I guess next week is going to be interesting, to put it mildly. We'll have a lot to talk about.
A special 2-hour podcast next week to wrap up.
Yeah.
Like an hour and a half to the Kanye West time challenges, and then the rest we might devote to the DNC.
Well, co-presidents, you want to leave it there?
Let's do it. Yep.
Agreed.
Adjourn.
All right. Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Now, since I get the last word here, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that I am, in fact, the real president of the podcast. Because, you know, I do the hard work telling you things like how you can get new episodes of the podcast delivered to you almost every single week when you subscribe. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. And while you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And of course, you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast. Folks, you may be wondering why I've gathered you here today. Well, I have a very important announcement to make.
Ha 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 ha